Hey, everybody. We're doing a thing here tonight. It's going to be awesome. This is the theme now. We just played Temporary Secretary because it's Esmeralda's favorite song. She finds Paul McCartney scary. That's possible. That was McCartney from McCartney 2. I'm only recommending albums that are 31 years old at this point in life. It's very old. Let's do the show from down here. How are you guys doing? It's time to have some real talk in some real places. Welcome to the Big Apple. We've made it, everybody. It's time to lay down and do a talk show. Oh, man. So I've gotten into a lot of fights with older people recently. I really should stop fighting older people, number one. But more importantly, the topic of conversation was about technology. And they're anti-technology. They're saying things like, oh, Facebook, you don't actually have friends, and Twitter's pointless. And yes, those things are all very true. But they also bring people together, okay? Technology is a brilliant, brilliant thing. You should never blame the device that you're using to find cheap pizza on Yelp and things like that. iPhones, it's a fantastic piece of device. Blackberries, it's great because I'm part of the 1%, so I love Blackberries. Do you guys know what the 1% is? It's me. I'm future rich. It's awesome. Did you know that the Batman thing, the next one, is the Dark Knight Rises or something, that's being filmed like two blocks from the Occupy Wall Street stuff in like a week? And it's going to be so awesome. And the other Occupy news of the day is a really, really cool janitor, I'm assuming it's a cool janitor, changed all of the windows in the Chicago Stock Exchange to say we are the 1%. Because he's an awesome dude. I'm assuming it's a dude. That's very sexist of me. It could be an awesome lady. Or in between. They're all awesome to me. Here's the new goal of the night. There's this lovely woman that's going to be maybe 10 feet from me sitting here. And my goal is to get her to smile twice. So I got a half a one. We're on the right start. Anyways, technology. It's a very, very fascinating tool. We're in a hostel. Let me make that perfectly clear to everyone. And when we're in New York, we're here for CMJ. It's a College Music Journal Festival. And I realize that technology has made the College Music Journal Festival completely pointless. No one needs to go out and find new bands because we have computers now, and we don't need to go out of our houses. Yet we do go out of our houses. We go out of our houses to things like hostels to see talk shows. It's the talk of the town. I can't go anywhere with people not talking about shows and hostels at this point in life. It's just amazing how far we've come with social media. But I enjoy it. I'm trying to think of the most fascinating thing I found today on social media. And then I realized I've actually been outside all day. I haven't seen a television screen in like 4 or 5 days. And it's all because of technology. I wouldn't be here if there wasn't such thing as a podcast. And there's no podcast without the iPod and all that stuff. So all this stuff that people criticize for just like taking away the humanity is actually doing the exact opposite. And that's kind of a cool thing. Or I'm just totally ignorant of the news. It's one of those two things, and that's the theme of the show tonight. I am an ignorant man. Oh, I love lounging. You guys like lounging? This is my favorite. How would you describe this pose to the listener at home, Peter or Esmeralda? Esmeralda has a very...
You're taking a knee on a couch.
I am taking a knee. Did you ever play football, Esmeralda?
No.
I played football.
What?
Why would you say what? Why? There are women in football.
Yeah, I know, but not me women.
Not you women. Are you against women in football?
I got winded going up 3 flights of stairs and then coming back down. I don't think playing football is my thing.
You could be a lineman.
Did they get to just stand around?
Yeah, they
then
die.
Then maybe, yes.
They die really young because their entire career... like
perfect! Perfect one, yeah. But I'll be a lineman then.
But like you'll own a dealership at 38...
Okay.
And then you'll be dead.
And then I can get those big those things where the air pumps into them.
Yeah.
And the gorilla that says there's a sale.
Yeah. Well, do you want a classy dealership or that kind of dealership?
I don't want that kind of dealership.
You're not selling any Audis at your dealership.
No, I'm
just
selling
old Chevys.
Yeah, and Pintos.
Oh, do they even make Pintos anymore?
No, I'm not selling anything new.
Oh, so you have a retro dealership.
Yes, it's, yeah.
See,
call
Esmeralda,
it that. Retro.
There's a lot of problems with your car thing already. Those are not environmentally friendly. You're really not taking advantage of the brilliant technology that's available today for the modern age. Is this weird for you? Is this weird
being
for you?
Green?
I don't know why I'm doing this. I have
no idea. I don't know
why.
All this is a nice carpet.
Isn't it a nice carpet?
I know
said this
carpets.
Last night, and I'll
is
say
a
it
nice
again.
Carpet.
No bed bugs at the hostel. Here we go. That's true.
Yay.
Give it up. Yes, we can, everybody. We have a great show tonight. Our first guest is Greg Wallach. He was He was. He is a storyteller, and he does something that I obviously cannot do well, which is talking to a microphone. Nope, didn't get one from that at all. That's okay. Jay, how you doing back there? Jay's going to come up and do the stand-up comedies later, and that's going to be fun. And then Aaron's going to come up and do the music thing, which, if it's bad, it becomes stand-up comedy. Oh. We did an interview today with somebody from The State. Do you ever know what that TV show is? Great. Fantastic. We interviewed somebody from The State today, and we did it in an improv rehearsal space. And no matter what happens here tonight, I am just so glad that we're not in an improv rehearsal space. So nothing could go wrong. We're going to have a fantastic time. Peter's on guitar. Esmeralda's the co-host. Peter, play something so I could walk 3 feet. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I read a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. How stop. How is it worse every night that you play? You're supposed to be getting better. This is atrocious.
I feel like I'm actually losing skill.
You're completely sober.
You
actually had a decent amount of sleep.
Well,
you've eaten food in the past day.
Maybe that's the problem.
Fair enough. Esmeralda, we have news because we do news.
News. We're a respectable podcast where we do news stories.
Yeah, all the good podcasts do. This American Life is a daily news podcast.
All right.
You don't listen, do you?
That's not credible.
No, it's not.
No,
okay.
It is.
What's your first story?
Okay, so today we're all going to die.
What?
It's the end of the world.
Why is
again?
It Okay.
Again, Harold Camping said that today is gonna the world's gonna end, but it's gonna go quietly.
Today,
yes.
What coast?
So we still got so many hours.
On what timeline is it? Is it like a rolling blackout where like we will all die first, and California still has 3 more hours? How does this work?
He didn't say.
That's
He's trying
normal.
To be as ambiguous as possible, considering last time went horrible.
That's fine.
You know, the world didn't end.
I'm sure he's a pretty well-off man, and that makes me respect him, because he is the 1%, and that's the goal of the show. How could we get Brandon Weatherby into the 1%? I think we could do this together. Next story.
So the age-old question, who's funnier, women or men? The University of California, San Diego. I don't even know why they're doing
science. Yeah, that's not a good
things.
School.
They're doing science.
They should just
projects.
Focus on communications.
They should.
Yeah.
And ocean studies or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but the water.
The water.
Yeah, yeah. Well, San Diego, as everyone knows, is a very big hotbed of comedy. So they should definitely be doing this study. What's the result?
Men.
Okay, good.
But only by a little. It's not even that.
You know who's going to change it to make it women? Whitney.
Oh.
Whitney. That's the best show
that's
ever.
That's terrible. No, but it's... They
I think
found...
we just walked the band by complimenting Whitney. Bye, Aaron.
But they found in the story that guys... for some reason, seem to like their own humor. Dudes like dude humor.
Yeah. Do you want to know why the 14-year-olds listen to the podcast?
Why?
My dick farts, my dick.
Did we just get like 10 kids?
We got 10 kids in Omaha
that?
Right now. That's how things work.
Okay, so I haven't been to New York in years.
Yeah, you haven't been to New York. It's been like 5 years.
And I hated it the first time.
Really? Why did you hate it?
Because it smelled funny and everyone was mean.
How has anything changed in the last 5 years?
It doesn't smell as bad.
Really? Maybe you're just
and
here...
people haven't been mean.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where have you gone that people aren't mean? Where
everywhere. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
I've been everywhere. But so, I enjoy it, but I'm from Chicago, so I found a story that one-ups New York, so suck it hard. We have the finest public restroom in America.
Really?
Yeah, it's at the Field Museum. I know. I love toilets. I am a toilet person. I need...
That's a pull quote.
I need a good toilet wherever
I
go.
Could I put that on your gravestone?
Yes.
Okay.
I like a good toilet.
No, no, I am a toilet person.
Okay. Can it be in the shape of a toilet?
Obviously. No, it's
really
a stall.
Nice toilet.
It's a stall. It's a mausoleum, actually, and it's a stall, but people can't use it.
Oh.
It's just where it's cement where there should be water.
Can it be usable?
No.
Because I would like that.
Do you know
since
how much,
I am a toilet person.
Do you know how much it costs to maintain a crematorium, coffin, toilet, mausoleum?
Well, you're part of the 1%. You
I
can
am,
afford it.
Well, you know how they became part of the 1%.
Because you're going to buy my mausoleum.
Yeah, they're not spending money on toilet cemeteries. That's why the 1% is so rich.
Well, no, but you will start.
No.
You're going to start that. Come on.
No,
buy me a toilet mausoleum.
No.
Anyway, so this... The
Did you think
museum,
you'd ever say that sentence in your
buy
life?
Buy me a toilet mausoleum?
Yeah.
I'm sure at one point. There would have been variations.
I heard that on WTF this week. Buy me a toilet mausoleum. You have
oh,
no
so
idea.
We're
stealing other podcast material.
Stuff.
All right.
So, no, this bathroom is eco-friendly. They clean it every hour. It's got clouds drawn on the top.
Ooh.
I know.
I like murals in a urinal.
But it's the best toilet in America, so suck it, New York.
Stop saying suck it in bathroom in the same sentence.
Oh, why not?
I don't think you should be that mean to New York. I think that's...
New York?
I don't.
Why are you mentioning...
Well, I just feel like, you know, we've been here for a couple of days doing shows here, and I just think it's been really... you know, just really great. What's it, you know my favorite neighborhood in New York is?
What's your favorite neighborhood in New York?
South Side.
I love the South Side. You know what I love? I love driving down the Pacific Coast Highway in
right.
Queens. It's
right.
just my
Skyline
favorite.
Skyline Drive, they call it.
You know what I like about driving in New York is that the Indy 500 is just
right.
smack dab.
Right in the middle of Central Park.
Well, we are in the crossroads of America.
That's right.
We're in the
rusty Bible Belt.
We're in the rusty way. Iron Belt. One of the good things about New York that a lot of people that come to the hostel like to discover is Motown. Motown was
right.
started in New York. We're in the Motor City, New York. I love Motown. Motown Philly is back again. I love going to Queens and getting a good old-fashioned Philadelphia, New York cheesesteak. The age-old debate, what's the better pizza, Chicago or New York?
Well, what's the better breakfast, do you think? Is it New York omelet or New York toast?
I'm going to go with New York Denver omelet. That's my favorite. Pizza. Let's go back to pizza really quick.
Okay.
We glossed over it. Hands
right.
down, I'm always going to go with New York deep dish pizza.
Deep
that
dish.
Is the best pizza
yeah.
in the world.
As opposed to New York jumbo slice.
New York jumbo slice is pretty good, but it's just a little bit too messy for me. You know what I mean?
Berlin Trilogy by David Bowie. That's another thing.
If we're going to be talking about music, I really want to talk about the early 90s New York grunge scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All those classic New
home
York
of,
bands.
Home of the grunge.
Home of the grunge.
Home of the hits.
Yeah. All the fantastic musicals about New York, like Oklahoma.
Yep.
Chicago. Listen, we're in the show me state, and we need to show people a good time.
Right.
The land of a thousand lakes. Take a dip.
Let's see if the drummer has one.
New York, where the Pacific Ocean meets the Atlantic Ocean.
That's right, everybody. We're in the crossroads of America. We're in the heartland, and we're going to have a fantastic time. Let's give the mic back to Esmeralda so we can focus in this great, great state of New York.
The Twin Cities.
The Twin Cities. Our first guest of the evening is a fantastic storyteller, and he saw me at a show a few months ago, and then he asked me to do his show, and I was shocked. For obvious reasons. He's a very, very nice man. He's a very good man, and you will all enjoy him. I'm setting this up where he has to fail now because it's way too nice, and I apologize already. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Greg Wallach, everybody. Greg Wallach is talented. Prove it.
Thank you very much. That's very sweet.
Why is it sweet? It's just I'm being honest, sir.
Well, thank you.
No offense. Last time I saw you, you didn't look this good. You look better tonight. Have you been working out in the past 2 weeks?
I have been working out a little bit. I think I'm also less tired.
Why were you tired last time?
Oh, I had just gotten back. I had just done a show in Chicago. So I had just gotten back the night before.
Chicago.
And, yeah.
Chicago, Ohio.
Yes.
The Ohio Players are from Chicago.
So I was a little tired when I saw you on the show.
Yeah.
Because I had just gotten back the night before, but then I came to host the show that you were in.
You
which
were very
you,
good.
You did a great job. We loved having you.
I did an okay job. The name of his show is Pitch.
Right.
And I was supposed to pitch a story. I didn't do that. I pitched 30 ideas, and they were all rejected. Hands down.
Well, people can come on and pitch however they want. There's no rule, really, how you have to do it.
But I did the worst ever on your show.
And you were... No, I would say that's not true.
Who did the worst ever?
No one springs to mind at the
moment. Oh, you're too nice. You're too nice, sir.
But you were pitching to Gawker.
I did pitch to Gawker.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't like any of my... I just want a RuPaul website, and no one will do that for me.
Oh, you that's right. You wanted a RuPaul Drag Race
I want a daily updates. Drag Race update. And I don't think that's insane. Well, I know it's insane, but it's super fun.
But doesn't RuPaul do that on his own RuPaul website?
No, I follow RuPaul on Twitter, and it's not really about Drag Race. It's just about the life of being Ru.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, RuPaul is not RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul is her own woman slash man, and that's why he's awesome. Anyways, you're a storyteller.
I agree. I agree about RuPaul. Can I tell you that I met RuPaul on the M14 bus, and...
How was RuPaul dressed?
RuPaul was dressed as RuPaul Charles in his male persona.
Did he have a suit on?
He did have a suit on and a little Walkman, and I said hello, and RuPaul was very nice, and we chatted for a moment, and then I told friends of mine the next day, and they were like, no way, RuPaul does not ride the bus.
RuPaul is a man, woman of the people,
I was like,
saying.
Believe it. Yeah, believe it. Across 14th Street.
So you seem to be traveling a lot. You're on a bus. You're going to Chicago. You're going to be in D.C. next week. You got any travel stories? We're in a hostel.
Oh, the story I'm telling in D.C. next week, and I can't really tell it here because it's pretty long, but it is a travel story. It's about me going south to support a friend who's just gone through a breakup, and I get caught up in a faith healing.
That doesn't happen. You don't get caught up. They're not flash mobs of faith healers. How do you get caught up? Like, you just went to Denny's and it just happened to be that special Denny's?
I did. With my friend, we did go into a church, and then once we were inside, they saw me, they went for it, and it's, you know.
How do they try to heal you? What's wrong with you?
Well, they were trying to heal my disability.
Oh.
So.
Oh, whatever.
And it didn't work because, you know, here it is today.
You obviously don't. There you go. That's Nathan Jurgensen, everybody. Why don't you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, enough? Don't you want to be healed?
Well, I talk about that a little bit in the story. Like, maybe it was just, maybe I was the most cynical one. And so it just didn't happen.
Do you want to live in hellfire / die in hellfire? It looks like you're going that way, buddy. Welcome to the faith healing.
I might be going that way.
Okay. On a more positive note, you're a storyteller.
Yeah.
How does one get into storytelling? Because it's something that I did on accident starting when I was like 17. But when I was doing it, it was like a zine culture thing, and everybody smelled bad. And now, 11 years later, no one smells bad, and people subscribe to things like The Moth and go to things like your events, and you've done Moth and all that stuff. So, how does one get involved in that?
The event I'm doing actually in D.C. is a Moth event.
Really?
Yeah. It's The Moth and USA Network are getting together, and they're doing this thing called Characters Unite. And so it's about bringing people with different points of view together to start a dialogue. So everybody's going to tell a story about... you know, where they're coming from.
The USA Network? Really?
Yeah.
Characters Welcome.
Yeah,
Characters
it's part,
welcome.
It's part of that campaign. It's great. It's called Characters Unite. The tour is called Characters Unite. But, so you were asking how I became...
Yeah, how did you get started?
Well, I think that everybody... I mean, storytelling is like a natural thing that everybody does. Everyone's got a story to tell.
No, I used to be a bartender. That's not true. Everyone thinks they have a story to tell. And most people should just tip well.
Most people just tip well.
No, they don't.
They
just
don't
should
tip
and shut
well.
The fuck up.
Can I ask you a question that is perhaps not could go into dangerous territory?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I am a homosexual man and
get out of here.
Yeah. And so I've had bartenders say to me, amongst other things, that they go, "You guys are the best tippers." And so they pour good drinks for gay men.
Yeah.
And so is that true? Are gay men good tippers? And who is not a good tipper?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Gay men, it has nothing to do with being gay. Gay poor men are very good tippers. Gay rich men are shitty tippers. And gay middle class are pretty good tippers.
What are gay poor men trying to prove?
No, they're just young.
Oh, they're just
young. They're just usually young. And usually if you're a gay poor man, this is in Chicago. If you're a gay poor man in Chicago, 99% of the time it means they were in the arts. So they totally get it because they themselves are probably also a bartender.
I see.
So that's the situation. Also, I'd say the best bartenders I've ever met, I think, are firemen.
Firemen?
I think firemen are the best. It's probably because they're kind of blue collar. I mean, they make a decent amount, so like, and everyone's poor, so they're like slowly rising on accident. But they get it in a way because they drink, I'd say, 90% of their day, and then the other 10% of their day risk their lives saving others. So they get the whole futility of the idea of drinking. And I'm going way too like in depth about why bartenders tip a lot. Also, they're just cool dudes, and they never get speeding tickets, and they're totally fine with DUIs because no one's going to give a fireman a ticket.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I like seeing them in the grocery store as well. They're always in the grocery store, and they're buying amazing things. And as a gay guy, I get turned on thinking about men cooking for each other.
What cooking chili.
Ooh, do you
they
like
cook
chili?
A lot of chili.
Sure.
What's your favorite thing to have firemen cook for you?
I've never had a fireman cook for me.
Then you haven't lived.
I just like thinking about them cooking for each other.
They're good at the grill.
They're good at the grill.
Think about it. The firehouse, what are you going to do all day? You might as well grill. Every day's a picnic / I'm risking my life and might die.
Well, and they understand how fire works.
Exactly.
So I assume they'd be...
They all use charcoal, too.
Pretty good cooks.
Yeah, they're great. Go with a burger. If you're a vegan, I apologize. Firemen aren't for you.
Have you ever had a fireman cook for you?
Yes. In July. Nice. Yeah. Best friend's dad is a fireman, and my best friend's brother is a fireman, so it works out really well. And they're both amazing burgers and on the grill.
That's
stuff like
they made burgers for you.
Yeah, and really good Polish food.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, stuff that takes like 12 hours to make. They're great. Like a casserole type of dish, it's the best.
And did you feel safe the whole time? Like
they
have the barbecue under control.
Absolutely. You know what else I felt? Extremely racist, because they're really good at being racist. They're like the best.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay.
All right.
Because they're like accepting of everybody, but you know, they're real racist.
Okay.
They're the best.
I gotcha.
It's one of those things where, like, they're definitely going to save you, but they'll have a quip when they do.
Oh, nice. Okay. I can appreciate it.
And it also usually makes no sense because, like, they're usually making fun of the wrong race. If you're Mexican, you're Puerto Rican. You see what I mean?
Oh, right.
Because they have bad eyesight because of all the smoke in their eyes.
Is that true?
No.
Okay.
How did you get involved in storytelling? Why did you start?
I guess I haven't answered that yet.
No, we don't need to answer any questions. Okay. We just throw things out there.
How did I start? I guess I'm from Southern California, so back in Los Angeles when I was trying to get work I thought I was an actor.
Well, you have been in stuff.
I had the mistaken idea that I could act, but I really can't act. I'm good at sort of being a personality in front of people, but I'm not doing that thing that actors do.
So unlike an actor, you have thoughts.
I'm making
fun of actors right now.
I guess so. I guess that's true.
Well, they say other people's lines and stuff like that. And they're really good at Coke. Actors are good at Coke, by
they're
the way.
They're great at Coke.
They're the best at Coke.
Oh, okay.
And bands.
And bands.
We have a band coming up tonight, too.
So you mean like actors who've crossed over into bands?
Well, they're like double good. Like Jared Leto, best at Coke in the world.
I hate those Bacon Brothers. I don't like that Bacon Brother band at all.
Get off my fucking pseudo stage, motherfucker.
So
that is my favorite band.
Is it your favorite band?
No,
really?
I've never heard a song.
Okay.
That would be insane. What if that was would you trust me if that was actually my favorite band?
I would be a little suspect of you, but I would still like you.
No, that means I skin people. There's nothing good with the Bacon Brothers. Think about it. I think I'm offending our co-host, Esmeralda. She's giving me a weird look.
What? Don't care for the bacon. I hate that it's called the Bacon Brothers.
That's their
last name. I know that's
name.
Your last name and all, but really.
So you tried to be an actor.
Yeah, I was sort of busy thinking I wanted to be an actor, and there wasn't a lot of... I didn't get called out a lot for parts because, you know, guys on crutches. I would go and see, like, the same other two guys all the time. And so I just decided to start sort of telling my own story and making my own work. And so that's how it happened.
And then when did you move to New York?
I moved to New York in 1992.
Okay, so I've been here a while. Would you ever go back to California to live?
I think I would go back if I had some sort of project to sink my teeth into. I'm not really attracted to the idea of just going back and hanging out.
It seems like New York is probably the best place in the country right now to be doing storytelling.
I think so, and I mean, I feel really lucky because it's something that I sort of started doing way back when,
yeah.
And then it kind of became this thing that people do, and so I felt like I I met it as it was kind of happening.
Yeah.
Because when I've been doing it for a long, long time, and it hasn't always been a thing that was in vogue necessarily.
No.
Yeah.
It was painful. Sometimes it still is, let's be honest.
It still is sometimes. It's like, sometimes people tell stories too soon. Like,
we had this question earlier today. What is the appropriate time to tell a story? From a lot of writing professors I've had said 10 years. You need 10 years distance to get a full, clear view of everything.
I think if you, although I have to admit that I kind of love sometimes when things are a little bit of a train wreck and it's a little fun to watch. But if you have like white hot rage about what you're thinking about, it might not be the time to put it in front of people.
You've seen this show before. That's all it is.
It's white hot rage.
Yeah,
I can feel it coming from you.
That was a racist thing for you to say. I appreciate that. I like to take pictures of the guests while they're in the interview so they get freaked out during it.
That's
great.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
So, can I see it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to delete it.
Are you going to put it up and tag me?
Yeah.
I have a friend who has a baby, and she's always like, hold my baby, but you have to approve it because, oh, that's all right.
See?
She's like, you have to approve it right now because if I tag you, don't untag me, my fucking baby. Like, she's like, I'm going to make you hold my baby, and you have to okay the photo because later if you untag you and my baby, I'm going to get really mad.
She shouldn't have had a kid. She should have just been a street artist.
Yeah, she does that too.
Seriously?
A little bit.
New York.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid shit. Sorry about that.
So I just think if I once saw a woman tell a story about her divorce.
Yeah.
And she was still like really mad.
Yeah.
And I got to hand it to her. It was honest, but it was a little.
What's her name?
Everyone was almost crying at the end.
Out of pain, or a little bit
out of fear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you approach it as therapy like a lot of storytellers?
No.
Good.
I think if you're going into it with that, I don't know. I mean, God love you. Do what you want. But like, if I'm getting off on it in that way, I don't think it's quite appropriate.
You get off on it in any other way? Why do you do it, actually?
Like, Why do I do it?
What's the enjoyment? Is it enjoyable? Or did you feel like you have to do it?
I walk awfully slow, and so I feel like it has something to do with it. I feel like I feel like as I'm walking very slowly, I hear a lot of stuff go by, and so I have to then put it somewhere.
So your whole life is like a slow motion montage in a Zach Braff film.
Exactly, yes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
No, but I feel like, I don't know, I just sort of hear, well, you know, as a creative sort of person, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like, yeah, I hear a lot of content, and then I want to
But none of it's, like, tangible or anything I could turn into a story. It's usually just white hot rage.
Really?
No, it's in the middle.
You seem like a very sweet man. I'm not sure I believe it.
No, it's somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
What's your writing process like?
Well, early on, I used to just speak everything, and it wasn't really written down. And then I would just like storytelling is. Mm-hmm. I would just tell it and retell it and retell it, and each time there would be more mm-hmm. and something new. And then I would write it down later because people would say to me, "You should write that down because you're gonna forget it," and which was true. So, but now I can sort of, it goes both ways. I can sit at a page and write, and sometimes I also just get up and speak and then write.
Okay.
But in the very beginning, it was more, I considered myself a performer and then a writer.
Do you still consider yourself that way?
It's more equal now,
okay.
I think.
Where's your favorite place to go up? What's the best place in New York to see storytelling?
To see storytelling? Gosh, there's a lot of really fun shows. Kevin Allison from The State.
Yeah, that's who you're with today.
Oh, is that who you're with? Yeah, he's pretty saucy.
Yeah, I know. It's great. He might get fisted tonight for the first time.
I don't believe it's for the first time. Is that true?
Yeah, it's totally true.
Okay.
And it's some Asian dude that... what was the site called, Peter? What was the site Kevin was using? It was Manhunt. Yeah, he was using Manhunt. And he's thinking about it. He's like, I got to live once. Got to get fisted once. So that's what he's thinking about. Kevin Allison, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm saying something I shouldn't when I think he has a preference for Asian.
Yeah, he says it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He likes him Asian.
Well, you know, it's a stereotypical thing.
You know what? I told him he should have came to the hostel. All over the world. People from all over the world. 300 beds, 150 dudes. That's a those are really good odds to find the right guy that you want to fist you for the first time.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, those are good odds.
Those are very good odds.
I don't know.
So that's your favorite place to tell stories? Kevin Allison's man thing?
Kevin Allison has a show called
Risk,
which you get up and you tell a story that you never thought you would tell before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he really takes that to heart.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He definitely does.
He told a story once about how late at night he was hanging out with the guys from the state, and late at night he was really horny, but none of them were gay.
Yeah.
And so he went to a deli and bought a cucumber to fuck himself with.
Yeah.
But he bought other stuff too to make it look as if that wasn't what was happening.
And you know what happened? He came like a man that buys a cucumber in a store with confidence. And that's important, kids at home listening. If you want to have sex with yourself and you like cucumbers, buy them with confidence. No shame in that.
Sure.
But wrap it up.
Right.
Yeah, because you never know what's
Have you ever done anything like that before?
No. I'm boring. I have a fiancé. Well, I'm good.
It's not, if it's a cucumber, it's totally not gay. You
know? No, it's more of a produce thing in general. I mean, it's not like I could hollow out a cantaloupe and make it straight. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Also, a hole is a hole. Why not? You know, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Welcome to a hostel, everybody.
Yeah, sure. I don't know where I liked, and there's also a show called Ask Me, hosted by David Crabb, which is really great.
Okay.
And Cami Kamiko.
Any advice for budding storytellers?
I always tell people, when people go, I don't know what to say, I don't have any stories to tell.
Go to the deli.
Yeah.
Pick a produce.
I just always, people always tell stories again and again all the time when they're at a party or when they're out with people. So I'm always like, what is that thing that you keep telling people?
South Park references.
Is that what you
Yeah,
is
that's
that what
every
you do?
Party that is attended between 18 and 35 year olds. That's all it is.
It must mean something, though. So go there.
Yeah,
and start,
everyone
start
shouldn't tell stories.
Okay, so you don't think everyone has stories to tell, then? No.
They do, but they probably shouldn't.
They probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I'm glad I'm doing it.
Yeah, you're good.
Thank you. No, but I think...
But I'm other people. Like me, I shouldn't be telling all these stories.
I think you should. I think you're great.
I'm medium.
No,
I'm getting
great.
Okay. I'm getting
you're
okay.
Fantastic.
And it's because I surround myself with people I really respect and enjoy, and that's why I do the talk show. That's sincere.
That's why I wanted you to come on our show. I really liked you. I thought you were fantastic.
I like you.
I like you too.
Let's go to a deli. I need you to pick a number between 21 and 237. This is from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Let's see. I'm going to go with 38.
Why 38?
I like the number 8, and I like the number 3 because it's like half of an 8.
Fantastic. That was taken. You get 28. If you were single, what rules would you have about seeing people who were already involved with someone or who had just broken up? What about coworkers or other people you deal with on a daily basis? What experiences have led you to these rules? This is an awful book.
What rules do I have about sleeping with coworkers? And that was such an involved question.
First part. Do you have any rules about seeing people who are in a relationship or have just ended a relationship?
No, not really.
That's good. Second one. Would you bang a coworker or someone you see all the time?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm an artist, so it happens.
What experiences have led you to these rules?
When I banged coworkers before without thinking about it very much.
Did you ever think you'd say that on a microphone?
Absolutely.
Damn it, that's not exciting anything anymore. I was hoping you'd say, no,
this
I'm
my
impressed.
Secret way of
I was saved, and now I'm out.
This is my secret way of telling you that I'd like to bang you.
Actually. I was hoping you'd come out tonight.
That I'd come out? What do you mean?
I was like, I was hoping in the beginning of the interview, you'd be like, you know what? I'm straight now. I lied. I'm gay again. I got you. And I could dance and walk. I lied.
Yeah. People have accused me of that before.
That really?
Yeah, both things.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All the girls I know, they're like, you're no fun. You're not gay enough. They want like the super fun gay guy, and I'm just too tired.
Those women want rich guys. That's all that is.
They want rich guys.
Yeah, they just want money.
They want like a gay rich version of the straight guy they want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen Bravo ever? That's all that network is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm performing all over the place. They can go to gregwallach.com and check it out.
Friend you on Facebook and all that stuff, or you'll know like if you don't know him?
Friend me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, Greg_Wallach, all that stuff.
Greg Wallach, everybody.
Thank you so much.
You're the best.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead. Give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening. And now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Jay Welch, everybody. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jay Welch. That's not my full name. My full name is Jennifer Welches. I go by Jay Welch for short, because my label tells me I'll move more units that way. A fun fact, by the way, Jennifer Lopez and I have the same butt. And completely different rest of bodies. So that is how that works. This is more of a visual thing, but I'll tell you this. I am in an interfaith relationship because I am not Jewish and my beard is. Actually, I have two separate sets of combs, one for getting out milk products, one for getting out meat products. Comes in handy. As you can tell by my body type, I am an American. Seems like every year, no matter what I do, I get a little more patriotic. And it's getting colder outside, which is frustrating. It makes it much harder to justify purchasing ice cream. I don't know about you guys. I find it is very hard to buy a blizzard during a blizzard. It's very difficult emotionally. But I do have a favorite ice cream place here in New York. I don't know if anyone been to Momofuku Milk Bar? Is the name of a couple people? Momofuku Milk Bar is in the East Village, which is a very artsy neighborhood. So they don't just have ice cream, they have theories about ice cream. Sometimes that's fine. One of the flavors they have is lemon verbena. And I don't even know what verbena is, but I want it inside me. Right? Some of their other flavors, not so much. They have another flavor, not making it up. It is called cereal milk. Cereal milk ice cream. Oh, my God. Reminds me of a flavor of ice cream I created. Tastes exactly like the water left over in a bag of salad. I call it Memories of Romaine. Put it on a waffle cone. You just ruined a waffle cone. That's how that works. I live in Washington Heights, which is slightly less glamorous than not being alive at all. I live on 170th Street. That is so far uptown, the only things north of it are fake addresses in the Royal Tenenbaums. The closest bodega to my apartment is one block away, and the name of it is Gourmet Deli. And the second closest bodega to my apartment is two blocks away, and the name of it is Super Gourmet Deli. By the way, the word gourmet has a very specific meaning in the name of a Washington Heights bodega. It means we think we killed the mice. It doesn't mean we killed the mice. But it means they tried. That is not nothing. There is a bodega in my neighborhood whose name is Deli. They know about the mice. They have an arrangement with mice. I used to live in Greenwich Village, which is a very vibrant neighborhood. Vibrant is my mom's word for when boys kiss each other. It's a pretty vibrant neighborhood. Just to clarify, some people think that joke is homophobic. I have no problems with gay people. Some of my black friends are gay. And I support gay rights. I support gays and lesbians getting married. I support gays and lesbians in the military, you know? Part of it is that I think they're human. Like, that's definitely part of it. But part of it is that there's just no difference. Gay marriage, straight marriage, marriage is marriage. And for me, the proof of that is Elton John, because he is married. The guy he is married to is named David Furnish. And the two of them produced a play on Broadway last year. And the name of the play was called Next Fall. No stars in it. They advertised it. Elton John and David Furnish present Next Fall. Elton John gave an interview this year where he said that he never saw the play. The play that he produced on Broadway, he never bothered to see. He was just producing a play on Broadway to shut his husband up. You want to tell me gay marriage is different than straight marriage? That is no different than the Bill and Melinda Gates Charitable Foundation. You know, the one that Melinda Gates started with all of her money from Lady Microsoft. That's that charity. Fun fact, Bill and Melinda Gates Charitable Foundation, world's leading contributor to malaria research. They're working on vaccines. They could cure malaria. If there's a cure for malaria, some of the credit will go to Melinda Gates. Someone could say, Melinda Gates, how did you cure malaria? And she would have to say, well, it wasn't easy. But I slept with Bill Gates for 20 years. That's how strongly I feel about malaria. I have a friend who's a bisexual dude. And he was very happy because a study came out recently saying he exists. So he found that very gratifying on a personal level. When he pinched himself and it hurt, it was very gratifying. He was telling me in his personal experience, men give better blowjobs than women. That's his personal experience. And I don't want to dispute his personal experience, but I think that it's relying on flawed data if you're trying to reach a larger conclusion. Because here is who he has gotten blowjobs from. He's gotten blowjobs from two groups of people. The first group is men who really like to give blowjobs. And then the second group is women. Without regard to their feelings about blowjobs. Feel like there may be some underperformers in that second group somewhere. Somewhere hidden deep within the recesses of all women. I don't know. I personally, I do not like to give blowjobs. That's just a fact about me. I feel like if I was assigned to represent the men in that battle of the sexes, it would really affect our overall score. A lot of criticisms from the judges. A lot of remarks like, well, first of all, the crying didn't help even a little. Second of all, I really question your choice of music. I don't understand why you wanted to put on They Might Be Giants during this. This is the last thing I'll say. I have a friend who was raised by parents who believe in Christ, which is perfectly fine. And the parents also enjoyed rock and roll music, also perfectly fine. Rock and roll music and Christianity both have contributed to society. Neither has contributed to the other. Christian rock, not a great thing. Still worse, this friend of mine, his parents didn't just own Christian rock music. They owned other albums. One of the albums they owned was called, not making it up, Skanktified. That's skanktified as in sanctified but ska-like. I don't know any of the bands that were on that various artists' album, Skanktified, produced by a music producer who didn't ever hear the word skank. But here are some bands I'm hoping were on that album. Mary Skagdalen, Skabriel's Horn, The Skapostles, Skaman on the Mount, Road to Skamascus, Skazarus, Skamaculate Conception, Skoshin of the Christ, Crucifixion, Scotigal Sun, Real Big Fishers of Men, First Corinthians, Second Corinthians, Scar of Bethlehem, Skong of Scholomon, The Gospel According to Scathew, Eternal Scalvation, and the Almighty Mighty Boss Tones. Thank you.
Jay Welch, everybody. Come and sit down. Bring the microphone, buddy. Jay, thank you for doing the show.
Pleasure.
Two things. Tears sometimes do help. They're nature's lubricant. I'm sorry that was dumb. The second thing is you have a T-shirt ready to go.
Oh, that's great.
Comedy is hard to make money on, and there's like two ways for performers to do it live, you know, besides the show. You have your CD, and occasionally you have a T-shirt. T-shirts have to come by. Yours will be very, very simple. It's just an ice cream cone with romaine salad out of the top. People will know what it is. It will make sense to no one except your fans. It's a good way to do it.
As a tribal thing. They'll see the T-shirt and they'll know each other.
And you might get some vegans buying it.
Potentially.
Yeah, and they have no idea why they're buying it.
Well, they know for certain that the cone doesn't have milk or cheese in
exactly. it. Exactly. And you could write vegan friendly.
That's what you want in ice cream, is a lack of cream.
Yeah.
That's really the main feature you want.
You know who else wants a lack of cream? Where are you from?
I thought for sure that was going to segue into a question from the book about sex.
Yeah.
All right. Where am I from? I grew up in Eastern Maryland.
Okay. How was that? That
it's all right.
Okay. Yeah.
It's I grew up in a small town. It's about 25 minutes or so from Ocean City, Maryland, if you know Ocean City.
Yeah.
Ocean City is where people in Baltimore and Washington go for their beach. And that's perfectly fine. I grew up in a town of about 20,000 that resented the dickens out of Ocean City for being culturally relevant during the summertime.
They should just move.
The people who lived in my town?
Yeah.
It's not really up to me, is it?
You know, that's fine. You should be the mayor and kick everybody out.
So often I wrote letters to the newspaper about that. So rarely those letters were printed. Now, you know,
how many people were writing into that paper? It's a very popular publication in Ocean City.
That controversial op-ed columnist who always linked abortion to breast cancer generated a lot of news.
What's their name? Can we get them on the show, Peter? Good.
Oh boy, this is delicate. We're talking. I'm two Facebook friends away from her. It's a small town. So
great. What's her name?
Oh, Martha Ogburn.
Let's plug her. Where can people find her?
I'm honestly, I have not kept up with her work.
Martha what?
Ogburn.
O G
B U R N.
Spell that again. That's complicated.
O G B U R N.
Martha Ogburn.
Yes.
All right. That's going to be my new best friend.
Probably.
Nathan, could you look that up for me while I do this? Fantastic. Thank you, sir. Did Martha inspire a lot of your comedy?
Not particularly.
There's such a source of wealth right there that you got to take advantage of.
No, I mean, there's definitely.
You write what you know, and if I know one thing, it's abortions and breast cancer are good friends. They're the best of friends.
I try to write what I know, which is why I have so many jokes about poultry science and racist Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
but
is that the name of your album? Future album? It should be, yeah.
I think it's going to depend on whether that stuff ends up as on the first album, may save it for a second album. You know how you
How about this? How about this? No material about that on the first album. That's the name of the first album.
That's
the main theme of the second album, and the title is That Woman's Name.
I'm interested. And then sort of like an interlocking, like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes. You know, did you see those two System of a Down albums? If you bought them, you could connect them in a triangle because cocaine works. And all the teens love them. You like Armenian rock and roll?
Oh, man. The number of times I have thought there were secret clues in the music video for Chop Suey. That is literally the number of times I have watched that music video. Two. It was pretty good. I watched it again.
Has there been an uglier band in the last 10 years?
Look, I don't want to throw stones, but there's a lot of ugly musicians out there. Tom Petty, great musician, no prize.
Yeah, but the
visual-wise, I mean.
Is Ben Mottrench how do you say the keyboardist's name? He's like the best keyboard. Ben Folds is fantastic. No, but there's other guys in the band.
But women have crushes on Ben Folds.
No, they don't. Women that hate Shins love Ben Folds.
The band The Shins or the physical shin?
Both.
I don't know how that works.
Chins and the Shins.
Oh, fair enough.
We're going to end this interview.
Let's. I was told to agree.
This is not improv. We do not yes answer.
Sorry.
Let's
apologies.
Go out back and zip, zap, zop.
Absolutely.
I love how Adam landed that. Please pick a
I shouldn't
number.
Have yes-anded your zip zaps up. That was my mistake.
It's okay.
All right.
We're doing a Herald right now, everybody.
Oh, motherfucker.
This is stupid. Please pick a number between 21 and 237.
128.
128. Good job. That's taking you get 131. Would you rather have everyone
envy you because they admire and like your partner, who is actually not such a great catch.
I have no idea what that means.
Or have everyone shake their heads and think you could have done better, yet you know yourself that your partner is actually wonderful.
Oh, I would want the situation where I'm happy with my partner rather than unhappy with
then
my partner.
Then why are you doing stand-up comedy?
If I cared about seeking approval from my parents or people I know, I wouldn't do stand-up comedy. I care about approval from strangers. It's a completely different thing.
You think that lady will write some nice words about you now that you plugged her on the show? What's her name again?
The odds that Martha Ogburn,
whose name
you have extracted from me violently several times now.
We're on three.
The odds that she will ever hear this
are very small. High. Very high. That is a small town with not a lot to do. Martha Ogburn.
Hey, we got Time Magazine every week. We knew exactly what was going on. We found about 9/11 the day it happened.
Martha,
that's that town.
Is Martha Ogburn a 9/11 denier?
I lost track with her before then.
Is she part of the 99 or the one? I got approval from Nathan. Yes, she's a denier. And she's a Holocaust denier.
I'm going to say
she's
this.
She's a Holocaust denier. She saw it on Twitter.
She's part of the 53, is my bet. I haven't talked to her about this, but I'm thinking she thinks she's part of the 53%.
Does she support Herman Cain's 999?
Well, first of all,
it's now 909.
Herman Cain barely supports Herman Cain's 999 plan. And second of all, yes.
Good.
She probably thinks his pizza tastes better because he's a conservative.
Wait, we got a Twitter. We got
at Martha Ogburn. At Martha Ogburn. You should put her on the show.
At Martha Ogburn.
And she just tweeted, calling all moms with strollers, join fitness guru Haley Angster for Mommy Walk every Tuesday morning.
Time to do it, people.
Tuesday mornings in that town.
Occupy Martha Ogburn is our handle on Twitter.
As long as we aren't promoting me at all, that's
hashtag
the main thing.
Occupy Martha Ogburn is our Twitter handle. Hashtag Jay Welch, everybody. Welch, everybody.
Welch J on Twitter. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
We're in a hostel, and we're going to really take advantage of that. Rather than just bring on some of my favorite New York folks, we decided to bring on some people that are staying in the hostel. So without further ado, please put your hands together for Louise, everybody. Louise. Louise, how are you doing?
Good.
Where are you from, Louise?
My name is Louise L. O, U, I, S, E.
Okay,
Luis.
That's great. Where are you from?
I was the number one stand-up comedian in Loveland, Texas.
Really?
And I just moved to New York to fulfill my dream of standing on the big stage with the big lights and becoming a famous stand-up comedian.
How's that going?
It's not going so well, Brandon.
Oh, I'm sorry, Louise. How long have you been in town?
I've been here for 3 weeks.
3 weeks? How many times have you gone up?
I've done stand-up about three times. The first time I rode my bike there, and my bike got stolen.
Oh, that's a shame. Did you lock it up?
I locked it up to a tree, and the tree got chopped down.
Oh, no. What happened the second time?
The second time I did stand-up comedy, I was booed off the stage.
That is a shame. Why did they start booing you?
I went to this place. I think it's something about space. It's called the Apollo. And no one there liked me very much.
I am so sorry about that. I've heard the Apollo was a very nice crowd, too. That's shocking to me that they would possibly boo you.
They turned on me after I told a joke about the Tyler Perry movies.
You don't like Tyler Perry?
I was just telling a joke about it. I'm a big fan of the man.
What do you have? Do you want to tell the joke now?
I'd like to work on some bits with you because
okay.
I know that you're an expert at stand-up
I am
comedy.
I'm a huge expert at stand-up comedy. That's how people know me.
All right, this first joke is mashup.
Oh, okay.
It's called mashup comedy.
I like it so far.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
to get to the other side. Oh, that was for you to say? Did I step on your punchline? I'm sorry.
All right, I'd like to try another joke.
Okay, let's try another one. That was my fault. I apologize. Because usually a crowd doesn't have a microphone.
This joke is a cover joke.
Okay.
It's a Chris Rock joke.
Oh, that's good. He's a very funny man.
There are only two types of black person. Women and men.
I actually like that one. That's pretty good. I think you got a lot of likes.
You could
that
work
one.
On that a little.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you, Guinevere. Thank you.
Her name's Esmeralda.
Like I said, thank you, Guinevere.
Okay. Do you have any other jokes?
Yeah, I have some more jokes I'd like to share.
Okay.
This next joke is called Katy Perry.
Wait a second. Do all of your jokes have titles?
Yeah, they all have titles, and I intro them before each joke.
Oh, that's different.
This joke is called Katy Perry. You know what I really hate, Brandon?
What?
Airports. It's just so inconvenient sometimes. And then you go through, and the TSA sees your penis. Thank you. That joke was called Katy Perry.
I think he has potential.
I think wow. This is pretty good, Louise.
I think this is the best comedy show I've ever done.
Louise, do you ever hear of anti-comedy?
What is that?
I think that's what you're doing. I think you're subversive. Do you know what that word means? Do they have that word in Texas?
Listen, I know that you have all types of lifestyles up here in New York, but I'm from Loveland, Texas. You know, I've never really experienced anything like that. But I do want to tell another joke. It's a story. It's about my grandmother.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was baking with my grandmother.
Wait, really quick. What's the name of this story?
The name
or this
of the,
joke, I apologize.
This name, the name of the joke is A Beautiful Sunrise. So I was baking with my grandma.
Aww.
But I called her my Meemaw. So Meemaw was trying to open up a pack of flour. And she was tugging it and tugging it and tugging it and tugging it and trying to open the pack of flour. And I say, Meemaw, do you need some help? And she said, okay. And so I said, let me do it for you. And she took one side of that packet of flour, and I took the other side of that packet of flour, and we pulled. And then all of a sudden, the flour went everywhere. And my grandmother was covered in flour. And so I said to her, Grandma, you look like a ghost.
Oh, that was your joke. That was the end of the story.
That's what we call in Loveland, Texas stand-up a punchline. I have one.
You have one more joke?
I have a million jokes.
Why don't you do one more?
All right. This is called Losing My Virginity.
Is this racy?
I can't tell it in Loveland, Texas.
Okay,
that's
I'm
why
excited.
I had to leave.
I'm excited.
It was a cold October morning, and I found myself alone yet again. I got out of my bed. I walked the streets, became one with the people. I went to the library. I read a couple books, but I forgot what those books were. It doesn't really matter, I guess. I leave the library. I go to the candy store, but I didn't buy any candy. I just wanted to look at the candy. Then I took the bus across town to that different place that my parents never let me go to. And then I took the bus back to my side of town. And then, after that, there was a football game at my high school. And I went to the football game, and the whole town was there. And we were so excited because we were going to win the football game. But then the game had to get canceled. So the whole town was really upset. And then I went back to my house. And my friend sent me a text message. And he said, come to this party. And I said, I've never been invited to a high school party before. And then he was like, don't worry, you can come. And I got to the house. And everyone was wearing masks, like in Venice. And there were men wearing capes and no clothes on. And there were erections and public sex going on. And we were in a giant mansion, and I didn't know what to do. So I go into a room, and I see two people sitting around a table. And I see a little mound of white powder. And I say, what's that powder? They say, it's cocaine. And I said, I don't really want to get mixed up with that. So then I went to the bathroom. And then after I went to the bathroom, I thought I was going to leave. But my friend's like, I need a ride. And then I was like, all right, I'll wait for like 5 minutes for you. And then this lady came up to me and she's like, I'm going to take your virginity. And I said, but I can't even see you because you're wearing a Venetian mask. And she said, it's better this way. And she said, calm down. It's natural. Just breathe. And I was so afraid. I was so afraid. But she held me in her arms, which were large and strong. And I breathed. I just breathed the whole time. Much like I do all day long. I just breathed. And then I went home. Then I drove my friend home. Thank you.
Louise, that was fantastic. I don't think that's really a joke. More of a story.
Well, I saw the gentleman earlier said
I think
that
you were inspired. And you know what? That was one of the best stories I've ever heard.
You think? You really think so?
I think you got something going.
I'm also a singer.
We got to move the show along. And I think we should do that by having you sing.
I wish I was magic. I'd magically find a secret passageway through space and time to faraway places that I've never seen. The storybooks and picture shows it in my dreams. Cause wishes have magic, and wishes have wings. The sky's full of wishes, when the whole world sings! Thank you, everyone.
Louise, everybody.
He's a triple threat.
He is a triple threat. He'll be at UCB East on Tuesday, performing under the name Louise.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You Meet Them Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry, so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear in an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Aaron Thompson.
How can the cold always withstand the tide? And how can the sun be so lonely and shine so bright? We came here from Brooklyn. We came to start over. Life in the gutter, just waiting to get away. And though I
Brandon for having me on. This last one's called Guarding the Road. On the last train to Providence, I will wear my mask and believe it all. Joyful thoughts will bring the colors back. The radio was playing. There's a memory of an old that cries and recedes and gnashes its teeth as it drifts along the coast. My wrongs, they are. My regrets, they are none. It's only a lonely shadow ever hurt no one. And I dream a life I've never known. Fill my pocket. Snow. I stand in time between my past and the unknown, between the garden and the road.
looked upon this man. He said, my weary sons, I fear my faith is wearing thin. For he had come to love them, and he saw them as his own. So he stepped back from the podium, followed his thoughts home. And as he gazed upon that open road, he filled his pockets with falling snow. He walks in time between
you. Good night.
Garrett Thompson, everybody. Good job, bud. I want to thank all of our guests. They were all great. I want to thank Greg. I want to thank Jay, and I want to thank Aaron. You guys are fantastic. Please, listener at home. Please, listener at home. Support. The best part about doing this talk show is finding out about a new talent, maybe some overlooked talent. And tonight is really good for me because I've never heard of Martha Ogburn before. I don't think we have the right Martha Ogburn because because the person who we're currently following has two followers.
We're one of them.
I think we got the wrong Martha, by the way. Jay, you're a piece of shit, all right? That's not cool. We need the right Martha Ogburn. So listener out there in the ether, send us the right Martha Ogburn. Maybe you are Martha. How are you? I also see the link between abortion and birth control and pregnant breast cancer. Thank you. That's a fucking stretch, man. Holy shit. Wow. People believe that? That's the best. How do I get them to buy stuff from me? Because those people always seem to be doing really well. Anyways, we'll cut that out.
I just want to point out that California knows how to party.
Listen, when I go to Compton, New York, and I listen to the classic New York old school hip-hop stylings of N.W.A., mostly when I'm in Midtown, Kansas City, Manhattan, with my...
There's so much drama in the LBC.
Sometimes it's hard. Thanks for coming, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.